I didn't learn what went wrong until way later. And now I'm like, I suck at this and I fail at this. But two, that's also the process. I have to be able to do this right, and I have to get it right the first time. And if I get anything wrong, I'm a failure and I need to quit and stop and I can't do this. So there isn't even a feedback loop. It's just you either are something or you're not.
Yeah.
And that's not how it works. You aren't either a success or a failure. That doesn't exist. What's up, everybody, and welcome to Self-Storage Income. And we are going to be discussing probably one of the most important aspects of not just investing, business in general, but also kind of life. And I think a lot of people struggle with this, and it hinders their execution massively. Probably one of the skills that is the most important, but the least represented in general. And this is working together with a team, aligning everybody to a common goal, and trying to be able to execute. Now, you don't even need employees, but in real estate, in self-storage, you have a conglomerate of people that you need to execute on any goal. And it can be like juggling is an understatement, meaning that you have your marketing, you have your tech, you have your tenants, you may have a manager, you may have your contracted out people, you have your builders, landscapers, you've got your title company, you've got the banks, you've got investors, right? The list goes on and on and on. All of these people need to be on the same page. And communication is not only essential, but so is leadership. And managing people is very hard. This is a really hard thing to do. We're going to talk about what we've been seeing, what we're doing, our struggles, and where we feel that we've succeeded, failed, learned, talk about what we're trying to do now. It's a big topic, but it's probably one of the most important ones we could even cover.
I couldn't agree more, man. It's like you're talking about, one of those big things that's been on our mind, on our list, because again, I mean, this is what we do every single day, you know, this content, all the things that we do for you, you know, SSI, all this stuff. I mean, we're living, growing, doing all this stuff every single day, doing it.
We're literally walking out trying to make this podcast work, exactly. Which is very hard because we're dealing with people. Managers. We're not content just makers, but we are the operators of all these companies and business. So we're scrambling to try to get in here to talk about what's going on. And it's a lot.
The big thing is like AJ's talking about, no matter what you're doing, at any kind of scale, doing anything, you cannot do everything on your own. You can't run the business all on your own. You can't produce all the product. You can't run all the properties. You just cannot do it.
No.
You have to have partners. You have to have people on your team, and you have to have that leadership, be able to build that leadership capital with people to be able to influence decisions, to be able to provide information to influence those decisions, to get people to work on your team. I mean, just recently, I know we talked a little bit about this in the last podcast, but we've been traveling a ton this past month, 2 months, going out. Yeah, it's been a couple of months at this point, just going to every single one of our facilities, meeting with managers, going through, and you know, if certain things aren't done at facilities, we're putting on gloves and going to work and getting things done, showing physically the standards. And we've had the amount of leadership capital that's built with some of these employees who appreciate it is absolutely incredible. They're like, I mean, we've got the feedback from a number of individuals where they say, I've never worked for a company where the executives from a home office or corporate come out and literally do all of this. Yeah. Like we have employees like taking pictures of us doing stuff because they're so amazed. Like it's just incredible to them. But not only is that incredible, but and builds leadership capital, but the other individuals from the home office that we're going out there with and doing these activities with, the amount of leadership capital, connectivity, work that you put in builds relationships like you wouldn't believe, right? And being able to work alongside those individuals, being able to step up and be a leader in those circumstances, being able to say, we stayed out till 12 o'clock last night, working in the office, getting things done. Guess what? Meeting time 7 a.m. tomorrow here at the facility. We're freaking hitting it.
We're going.
Like every minute counts at this facility, and we're going to do all of it.
Yep.
And having those people, again, that leadership capital where those people are like, heck yeah, we are.
Yeah, this like, is awesome. We're this going, is important.
Exactly.
I'm important.
I care.
Yeah.
We're showing up. We're
They're
doing
sacrificing.
It. Exactly, man. And being able to have that relationship with our team has just been absolutely amazing. Yeah. It's been incredible.
It's so necessary. And I think it's one of the things that when you look at it, a lot of people, I don't know. I think they're like, I don't know how to lead. And I think that it's important to, first of all, understand that we all have our own strengths and our own weaknesses. And that's okay. So a leader doesn't mean you emulate someone's personality. That's not what it is. Getting people to work together, people need to want to work with you. But that doesn't mean that you have to be like, it doesn't mean that they want to go out and party with you or be your best friend, right? Mm-hmm. That's actually not true at all. Like it's, they want to work with you because they know that you're going to be there. You're going to help. You're excited about this. You're doing stuff right. That makes them excited about their work, what they're wanting to do. So I think a lot of people have an imagery of something that they think is a leader and they think, I'm not that. And I can't work with all these people or they won't follow me or we can't do that because I have these pitfalls or downsides. And I think it's really overblown. And I think, first of all, everyone can be a leader. I really do believe that. I believe some people are more like it's easier for some people because of communication skills, working with people, right? Things like that. But I know a lot of great leaders that are complete introverts, like complete introverts, and they actually don't like interfacing with people.
Yeah.
And yet they are wonderful leaders that the people will like do anything for.
Dude, I'm going to throw his name out there. Sam Whitaker.
Sam Whitaker
is that freaking guy.
That is the guy. He would rather shut his door, lock it, not talk to anybody. But he is a great leader that everybody trusts and knows. And because he's here at 11:30 a night working, he knows his stuff. He knows it in and out. Right. It's been one of the reasons why, you know, me and Sam have been such a good team is because I was way more like, I'm going to go talk to everybody. Yeah, let's get everybody to the same page, right? And then when people are like, okay, I need to know the details and execute yourself, you don't go talk to AJ. You go to Sam. He's the knowledge base where he's like, no, let me walk you through and let me show you this, right? But me and Sam, we originally it was like, okay, we could lean on each other for that kind of stuff. But then we split as the companies grew, right? And so he had to go in and then he had to be a leader, which I'm like, that's your thing. You need to do it. I'm not coming to be a leader over there, right? Then I had to do it, right? And it shows our completely different personalities, but yet still play that role. Mm. And because of what it means to work with other people and be a leader is not the personality side. And I think that's really important for our listeners to know and understand. I think it's largely based upon trust, and it's largely based upon example, and communication is important, but it's also, I think, based a lot on that person knowing what they're trying to do. Now, that seems simple, but it's actually not. And so knowing what to do doesn't mean you know exactly how to. Knowing what to do means I know where we're going. And I know what needs to be done to get there. I may not know how to do it. That's different.
No, exactly.
I don't know how to do 90% of everything my companies do.
Oh, that's
I don't know
thing.
How to do it. I know what we're doing though.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think that's another really good point is, you know, people that are being newly introduced to leadership roles or running their own companies, whatever that is, and having that misguided expectation that they need to know and be the best at everything.
It's not true.
And it's not true at all. There's so many times, you know, that I know you're in meetings, that I'm in meetings, that people are asking questions and I'm like, I have no idea.
No clue.
Like, that's a great question for IT or you know, for the marketing department. Like,
tell me.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Exactly.
And in fact, it's the opposite for me. I like when I go into a meeting, they're always asking questions. Wait, why? but why does that work that way? Okay, well, like I'm trying to get here and you're saying it can't, but tell me why. Is there another option? Is there another? It's, and two, it, I think it, it, pride is the, probably the biggest killer of leadership of anything I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And it's because it's, it means they want to know it all. They want to tell others what to do because it's pride is tied with power. And then your pride stops them from not only receiving the feedback, but also making the changes that are necessary. Mm-hmm. And that makes for the worst leader ever. And I think that people saying, I know where we're going or what I want is not the same as being prideful. And that's, it's very different. Very different.
For sure.
When you get, and you're going to go buy a property and you need to work with title, you need to work with all these other experts. You need to be the one that is the conductor. You're saying, okay, it's your turn. It's your turn. It's your turn. People need to know that you know when to say go. And if you don't, they need to know that you're going to say, hey, when are you supposed to do this? I don't know. What's the best time? So when you ask, that builds confidence in you, which is counterintuitive to a lot of people. So if you ask a question because you don't know it and you need their advice and then you take it, that actually builds confidence in you as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people think that that's the opposite, that that would erode confidence away from me.
Like you got to have the plan.
You got to know yes. all the answers, everything. And it's like, no, because I knew what I was supposed to do. I know he doesn't know. So if you don't listen, then they're just like, dude, you don't know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And that erodes confidence, as opposed to saying, I don't know what I'm doing. What should we do here? Now, also, though, I think a good leader doesn't just blindly accept things. So if I don't know what we're doing and I have either debating views or I have someone to tell me stuff, I ask why, explain it to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just about ignoring something and saying, oh, you just go do it at all. That's not it at all. It's you need to explain this to me. What are the downsides? What are the upsides? I want to know that, you know, I want to make sure this all fits in. I don't need to execute on it. I don't need that. But if you're going to do it, we need to be on the same page, right? And these soft skills that we're talking about, I really believe all of them are easy to develop because I don't know any leaders that were, I guess, just natural born leaders. I think most of the people that I knew growing up that I thought, oh, you're a natural born leader, they actually turned out to be the worst. Probably because they thought their natural skills overcompensated for everything else and that made them prideful or something. But a lot of times it's the opposite that you see is the leaders that are good leaders and they're adult. They weren't that when they were younger and they had to develop certain skill sets because they didn't have them and they had to adapt and move. And that made them good leaders and they listen more. I have my three levels of leadership that I kind of want to talk to you guys about on being leaders, because this is will apply to everybody and you can think of like where you're at. Now, for me, I define leaders in business. I define leadership as a degree of separation. And the reason why I built my leadership structure out this way and define it this way is because it's logical to me. So what happens is if you have no degrees of separation within your business, that means you're interfacing directly with the customer. So when you start a business out, you're doing everything. So you buy a storage facility, but you're also the manager. You're answering the phones, right? You're doing everything. So there's your degree of separation of the customer is nothing. You're doing everything. You're figuring it out as you go along. So there's no real leadership there that you have direct authority or responsibility of, but there is the organizational leadership part, right? But so that's zero. Now, one is one degree of separation from the end result, that customer, okay? Now, that one degree is usually an employee. And that employee then, you have to be, so when you're at zero, you can just do everything, right? And lots of people do, they just do everything. When you get a degree of separation, you then have a employee in between you and the customer. Now, the employee is doing the action, but you can tell directly the employee what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right there with them. Right? It's like they have a question, they come, answer.
Mm-hmm.
You need to do this, tell them it's exact, right? And they have confidence in you. You work together hand in hand, right? That's the first level of leadership. The second is the second degree. This is where things get tricky. And the reason why this is important to me and why I define it this way is not because of necessarily anything except who you need to be a kind of leader. So this is where entrepreneurs and leadership gets really messed up. They think a leader is standardized across the way. It's not, and I'm going to explain to you how. Each level of leadership that I classify as, you have to become a different type. So the second degree of leadership is now you have an employee and then a manager. This degree of leadership is someone that builds processes and systems, and then they have the managers follow and make sure the employees are following the processes and systems. So how they interface with managers is different than how you interface with an employee. An employee, you're saying, do this, this, or this, right? A manager, you're saying, what is the outcome of the employees? How are they following policies and procedures? How is that giving an outcome in our business? And then does those things need to be adjusted? What do we need to do? You're looking at data, different things like that. But you're interfacing with a totally different type of person, a manager. Mm-hmm. So what made you successful at 0 and 1 actually makes you a horrible leader at level 2. So if you're just going to tell somebody what to do, you're going to bypass the manager, or you're going to tell the manager, then they have to go down and do it. Then you have miscommunications. You have everything else.
You're going to end up doing it yourself.
Yeah. And so you're a horrible leader if your level 2 leader is the same as level 1. And this is why 90% of all successful companies, the entrepreneur has to leave. Because when they move to the third level and the third degree leader, they can't do it. This is very common. And this is a question that I've asked myself all the time. And I think it's still open for me. Can I be a good third degree leader? Because what happens with a third degree leader is you have your employees, you have your managers, but then you have what I call creators. These are C-suite type people, right? So this is like you, right? You are a creator, meaning you're actually building the business, the policies, your everything else, that everything has to be executed. So when you get to a third degree leader, they're so removed from the process and they're managing instead the creation of the process. This is wildly different because of the people you're interfacing with and the outcome that needs to take place by your leadership. You're much more vision oriented and tracking accountability, looking at metrics, reinforcing, discussing, and doing leadership tasks with other leaders. And so how you're empowering them, how you're holding them accountable, what you are all working together on as a group, right? Wildly different than the first degree and the second degree leader. Wildly, because they're not ever going down. I don't go down and interface at all with our managers, ever. It's not my job. And like, even if I thought I could or should or whatnot, I would call you, then you would go talk to the person that's in charge of it. And then they could interface and me and you would have a discussion on, is this something that is a fundamental business model problem? Like, we'll sit down and we'll look and say, okay, is this an isolated thing? Is this an employee issue? Is this a business structural issue? Right. And then we figure it out from there and you decide whatever to do. Right. I don't say, hey, go tell the manager to do this. And I definitely don't go talk to them because that's not only not my role, but that would make me a horrible leader. Right. Because I would be bypassing everything that's supposed to make a good business great. And that's processes and systems that are trackable, accountable, everything else. Third degree leadership is really hard because what made everything successful up until that point is counterintuitive to a third degree leader. So what made you successful before was I was doing the thing. Mm-hmm. Then I was building the thing and the processes and the systems. And now it's like, I wouldn't do it that way. I have issues with this, but it doesn't matter because I don't even see necessarily all the intricate things. All right, go for it. Let's test it out. Yeah. If it doesn't work, let's talk about it, right? Kind of thing. But you got to stay out. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard when everything you're built on is predicated on you doing something and getting an outcome for it. Mm-hmm. And so for me and my growth in leadership, being a part of this third degree leader, I think that I failed wildly when I first moved into it, and I've been trying to get better at it, where I understand better on what it means to work with a leadership team and group.
Same.
And it's a growth process that I view leaders recognize that. So I view, okay, if I can recognize why I'm failing at this, or the outcomes in our business that aren't being successful are driven because of my leadership, then I can work on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my hope for myself, is that if I can identify, I can improve. And I need to be able to look and get feedback and identify those things and take examples. And honestly, I, for a year or two, I didn't even really know what to do or how to do it. And we even had outside people come in and say, this is what we think you're doing good and bad, and let's audit your days. And we looked at everything, and just literally I had somebody come in. We had Serena come in, and her job, like, she was like, I'm just going to follow you around and write everything that you're doing wrong down. And then we're going to sit in a conference room and tell everybody what you suck at. I'm like, okay. Like, but you know what I mean? I'm like, because I got to figure out what's working, what's not, and how to do it.
Yes.
And the truth of the matter was, not only was I doing a lot of things wrong or counterintuitive that I didn't even know, I also, the things that I was doing right, I wasn't maximizing. Mm. So then what happened is I was getting in the way of my business, I believe. And have been. Usually, if you're an entrepreneur, you are always getting in the way of your business, by the way. So it's the biggest struggle you'll ever have. But then two, the things that I was good at, I wasn't utilizing. So then the business was suffering, because it was, you need to be doing these things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the dynamics of leadership that get very hard, because lots of times they can be counterintuitive. I had one of my mentors of mine, Marriott, he told me, I'm going to ask you to do things that are completely contrary to each other. And as a leader, you have to execute on that. And what he meant was, and he showed an example, I'm going to tell you that you need to increase output, but you also need to cut cost. So the money that goes to deliver the output, I'm telling you, you don't get any more, or you get less. Mm. And yet I want the output to go. And he said, that's what being a leader is. And he's like, you're going to have things that are counterintuitive. Like, it's, but no, if I want to do this, I should do this, right? And then you've got to figure out how to execute on that. And that's hard. That's really hard. And it's hard for a lot of people too, though, because we don't think in terms of problem solving in a way where we are okay with both worlds. It's black or white, right? Mm-hmm. It's either, no, we can or we can't, or this represents this, and so this represents that. We need to choose this way or that way.
No absolutes.
Not how leadership works at all.
For sure. When you guys are looking at property management software for your storage facilities, there's a ton of options out there, but no other option compares to Tenant Inc. Tenant Inc. is going to be your one-stop shop solution that has an amazing amount of tools that you can deploy at your fingertips to maximize the value of your facility, to operate it more efficiently, more effectively. They have an open API where you can back in almost anything you want. You own your data, and it's just an incredible solution. I can't say enough good things about these guys. Link is in the show notes. Be sure to check out Tenant Inc.
Are you a new self-storage investor and want to know what that facility is worth, what the risk is, how to underwrite it? Well, that's exactly what we do in a feasibility study. A feasibility study, we actually look at the market for you. We look at the finances, the underwriting. We show you where the upside is, the downside, and all the risk. That is actually what you can provide to banks to get capital and investors. It's a big worksheet, which most banks actually require. So if you want to know what a storage facility is worth that you're looking at, come to us, follow the link in the show notes, and we will tell you.
No, that's so much of what you all just said, man, is so much. There's so much gold there. And one of the things that came to mind too, as you were talking about a lot of that, especially transitioning to that third level leadership role, is things become so much less like tactile, because it's a lot easier when, well, it seems a lot easier. Like when you're at a certain level and you're able to say, okay, here's my task. I did X, Y, Z, and now that thing is done. Like, okay, now on to the next thing. Okay, I did this, this, and this, that's done. Whereas in that leadership position role, as you move up, you don't have the, or at least I haven't quite experienced this yet, but I think it's more just long tail maybe, where like the outcome isn't
you
like
don't
just,
see it.
Okay, this is done.
Yes.
It's more of like, no. Okay, 5 years later, what we did actually worked.
You don't go lie your head on the pillow and be like, I executed on everything that I needed to do and now the problem's solved.
Yes.
No, that doesn't happen. You sit and go, all right, I did all this stuff. Is it going to work? Should I do it differently?
Yeah.
What do I need to do?
Yes.
It doesn't end. It doesn't shut off.
Exactly.
It's because it is a creation process.
Mm-hmm.
So you're dealing in unknowns, right? It's yes. like, yeah, that's we're going to do this. We're going to so get important. Results. We're going to modify. We're going to change. And then what becomes important is your ability to close feedback loops very quickly.
And that's why mentors are so important in all of this, because man, I tell you what, if you were out there trying to do any of this alone, you would never follow through or do anything, because again, I think some of the feedback can be long where a lot of people would probably just quit and give up.
Yeah.
Most everybody that had any kind of like ounce of common sense.
100%. You're exactly
this
right.
This sucks. I'm not doing it
anymore.
I'm
not doing this. And you're right, because I didn't learn what went wrong until way later. And now I'm like, I suck at this and I fail at this. But two, that's also the process.
Yeah.
And that's hard, because there's nowhere in life we are trained by. So every one of our brains has been trained since we were little that this is how you are successful. You are getting a list of 20 things, which you have to regurgitate exactly one singular thing answer to it. And however many are wrong is a direct reflect of your success or failure. That's it. We've been trained. So you got 100 of the answers, right? That were just one words, one sentence things, right? They were just an absolute. And if you got that absolute, you got it correct. Mm-hmm. And if you missed 10 of the 100, you got 90%. But if 50 of them, you did not regurgitate exactly what the answer is supposed to be,
right?
You fail. And that is definitive, meaning that if you fail, it's over. And that's it. You just got an F. It's done. You failed the grade. You failed the test. It's done. There's no redos, right? Anything else. And so, but that is not how life works. In fact, that is the exact opposite. So instead of having feedback loops and saying, what am I doing right? What am I getting right? Come back around and let's improve and let's go forward. It's, I have to be able to do this right. And I have to get it right the first time. And if I get anything wrong, I'm a failure and I need to quit and stop and I can't do this. So there isn't even a feedback loop.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you either are something or you're not.
Yeah.
And that's not how it works. You aren't either a success or a failure. That doesn't exist. It's a process.
Exactly.
But we're not trained that way.
Yeah. No, I couldn't have said it better myself, man. But that's been one of the biggest things for me. And I'm so grateful to have the opportunity that I have. And I'm by no means inexperienced. Like, I've got everything figured out. Like you said, you don't lay your head down at night and you're like, I got it.
Yeah.
We're good.
No.
It's like, I mean, dusk to dawn. I mean, every moment of every day, like, is this working? Is that working? Where's that at? Is this, I mean, there is very few times anything's like, yeah, that's going to hit. That's perfect. That's great. Yeah. That's very few.
There's so many things that come into play with it that it's like, you can't even be. So like, I think when you're a first degree leader or even a zero, it's a transactional based process. So you want something, I give you something, I get the money, success. All right. Mm-hmm. First degree leader, you go do this. They do that. It was done. It's a success, right? Third degree leaders, it's you follow this process. If you follow the process, we get the outcome. It's a success. The second degree leader is you follow this process, it's a success. When you're a third degree leader, there's no process to follow. There is no success that has an immediate outcome.
Exactly.
Instead, you have a million inputs that are coming from all sides. So that individual transactional basis now is thousands of transactions. And two, the forces that affect them are outside and inside. And you protect the individuals, the employees, from the outside forces so they can execute on that. But you don't know necessarily what those forces will be.
So true.
So you can't have an answer. You're trying to make sure the process works as everything's changing all the time.
You're just measuring and making informed decisions as you go. And
constant.
I mean, we were just doing this yesterday, talking about the rate management strategies that we were using in 2023 and how, you know, looking at the data over the last 9 months, we've probably got to adjust a little bit because the feedback that we've got, it's not sustainable. We have to change. We have to shift.
Yep.
And again, there was no roadmap for that. No, that was
we were
you,
making
that
up.
Was other,
like, you know, this is what we're going
to
do.
Everybody trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, and, but like yeah. during that process, then we learned so much. We were
exactly.
like, right. Like I view it as you, the boundaries in which you live as a leader are the ones that you make. So we have to test things to even see.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, okay, here's actually a boundary. Like, this doesn't work. It's not going to work. The markets don't accept it. Everything else like that. Okay, here's a line. Great. Now we know.
Mm-hmm.
But as a leader, you're the one that has to figure out where those boundaries are.
Exactly.
And so you're out trying to find, oh, here, found it. Stop right here. Here's a line. Don't go past there. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is saying, all right, here's the lines that you drew. I'm staying within them.
Yeah. Well, and so often those lines end up being the failures, like you were talking about. You find the line and you're like, yep, don't go over there.
Go there.
It freaking sucks.
It sucks. And I'm going to be limping from this one for a long time.
Exactly.
And it, I think another thing that leadership, which we talk, we focused a lot of internal. I want to talk external. This is a harder conversation to have. And I want to be careful with how I have it. As a leader, you are put in a very uncomfortable situation to which you 100% have to judge people. And the judgment that you make should be predicated on outcome and should be defined so everybody knows what success or failure looks like, right? And then you have to hold people to it, you have to work through it, and you have to see. But at the same time, you have to decide whether this works, whether this doesn't, whether we can improve upon it, where it needs coaching, or whether we need to let that person go. Hands down, the hardest part of being a leader is not when I fail. It's when somebody else fails, because to me, it was because of me. And I think everyone will wonder, or should, if you don't, this is a problem. Leaders that think everything's failing because of employees are the worst leaders in the world. Because how I look at it is, no matter what, if the employee failed, at minimum, 50% of that is you. At minimum.
Yeah. I mean, like, if not,
why? Yeah. If not all of it.
Because all of it. You put them there.
You put them there. You hired them. You
exactly.
Like, take some responsibility here, right? So when somebody else, when somebody in my team and when we have employees fail, it sucks for me.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I feel, not because they failed, but I feel that I failed them. And exactly. That is really hard as a leader. And sometimes it's like, this just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be the one that says, listen, you're right. I've screwed up. So this doesn't work. You got to end it. Another thing, though, with the external part being, you know, even internal, you can look at it. The external part, though, you have to disassociate yourself with that. So it can't be a personal reflection. It can mm-hmm. be, yes, I tried, I failed. Here's the rules. But you do have certain accountability. I'm laying the roadmap. Here's your accountability. This is how we're going to track you. If I messed up and hired you wrong, I need to figure that out. I need to figure that out quick, end it, move on. And if not, here's your accountability. Why aren't you being there? Why aren't we meeting metrics? What is happening? And as a leader, I have a couple options here. If we're not meeting metrics, first of all, am I tracking? Do I know what's actually going on? Do I know why they're failing and why the outcome isn't happening? Then I need to understand, is this a structural issue? Is this a business model issue? So it's not even the person, it's the situation they're in.
Mm-hmm.
We got to diagnose that quickly. Then the individual, no, it's the individual. All right, is this a skills gap? And if it's a skills gap, meaning they can't do it, right? Is that something that we can improve upon? Can we coach? Can we build? If not, why did I hire them, right? And did I not understand skills, things like that, which is fine if it's not. And, or was it, they over-exaggerated, because that happens. People say, oh, I can do this, this, and then they can't. Then it's like, all right, this doesn't work, and move on. Now, if that is like, no, the skills are there, then is this a personnel issue? Are they not in it? Are they not willing to do what it takes, right? Things like that. The end of that scale becomes a lot more about them, right? And my biggest problem with, I think, leadership is twofold. On the communication side, I'm not good at details, following up with details. That's why I need a COO. Because I'm like, I don't micromanage. I can't. It's like, doesn't work in my brain too. So it's just something I don't have a skill set for. So I knew I need to have somebody else that can help, not micromanage, because I don't want to micromanage, but set up the boundaries, say where the boundaries are, track performance, and then report back to me. So then we can have that open discussion about it, because I know I'm not good at that, and I'm not going to do that. Now, I tend to be better at working with the people. I like being with people. That, you know, I like shooting for the goal. I like brainstorming. I like having people get ahead. Like, that stuff's fun for me as a leader. Those are my skill sets. Now, when we have to make changes with people, what you're doing is you are looking at a team. Once again, employees or not, and you're allocating resources. So at some level here, we have to understand that we're talking about a business. People are resources. You get time, skills, everything else from them. This is, they're not a family. We're here to allocate resources. That's how I look at myself.
Mm-hmm.
I have to allocate my resources to the company. If I can't do it, I got to get somebody else, right? So I'm in the same bucket. And where I fail, I have to hire other people to do my jobs. I have to do things that I may not want to do, things like that, because I can't do it. I can't work. My resources need to go somewhere, or then you go, I misplaced that, the company fails. And so when you look at those individuals, it is about, first of all, understanding with those individuals what resources they have, what they can obtain, and what function they'll perform in the business. And the business comes first. Mm-hmm. So by protecting the business, you protect the whole team. By protecting the individual, you endanger the whole team. This is very counterintuitive for most people, including me, because lots of times leaders are people that love people, right? So that's why they like being with people, right? Because they love them. But it is imperative, though, that you set up standards to understand when results are affecting other people, how to diagnose that, how to take care of that. Now, there's another side of this, though, is the individual skills, but then group. And what I found and what I've learned is that when you mix people together, it changes. And a lot of people don't talk about this. They talk about everything we've just discussed, individually, improving skill sets, judging them by setting up clear, concrete expectations, performance, are we hitting it right? Things like that. And so you judge performance, not individuals. The next side is you may do that and you may have perfect people, but then you put them together and everything goes to crap.
Mm-hmm.
There's the next level of it is, can they work together as a team? Now, this is way more complex and hard.
Even with just a few more people.
Just a few more people.
The dynamic totally changes.
Totally changes. And one person can ruin it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly believe this, one bad apple can be like cancer that'll spread. Mm-hmm. And as much as it is hard, I find leaders, and I'm speaking all of this from myself, is that you've identified this issue within the group. But that issue performs great on their own. So all of a sudden you're like, but you're doing it, executing the job, everything else like that. The parameters that we set up to judge you by, you're being successful. But then once you're in the group, the whole group starts to not perform well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the outcome is being hindered by you because the whole group is now being lowered. And so that's hard because you're like, they're like, well, hold on, but I'm performing. You are, but the rest of the team now, when you're mixed, they're not performing. So once you, as you go up in leadership, you then have to look at the interfacing of all those people as a team and how the overall outcome of that unit of people, their resources pulled together stuff is performing.
Mm-hmm.
So it adds a whole new dynamic and level to it. And that goes, once again, way more towards the second, third degree leadership, which in all reality, most people will never even get to. They'll never get to a second degree leadership position or a third degree leadership position. And most of the reason being is they don't even think that they need to change. They don't even think that they aren't willing to do the things that it needs to be done. They don't want to change, or they think they know what they should be doing. And so they just don't rise to the occasion. They won't do it. It's not that they can't. I think everybody can, but very few people are willing to make the changes necessary. But that second and third degree leadership level, once you start interfacing with a lot of people and once you start intermixing it, it gets way harder.
It really does. It really does. And like you said, it just, you as a leader, you have to be aware of those things. You have to be tracking those things. So much more of your job becomes, for a lack of a better word, like a counselor. You're really just coordinating with team members and figuring out the problems and helping guide the conversations. And because again, even just with a few additional people on a team, it's amazing how a dynamic can change with just one person, or how that one person can affect the whole entire organization. And again, I think you touched on some really important pieces here about, you briefly mentioned like the separation between the individual and the role itself, which is a common theme that I propose to my team and everybody else is, you know, and this is a non-emotional thing, whether it's a termination we have to do or corrective action, talk to employees, like it's nothing personal.
It's the role, not the person.
It is the role. It is the information, the outcomes that you've gathered. We had tough conversations with employees just today.
Yeah.
This is a daily thing that we're doing all the time. And this is one of those things that it's not going to be, again, it's not going to be rose-colored glasses all the time. Things are great. It's all, you know, rainbows and sunshine and leadership's amazing. And you get all the, you know, fancy crap you see on Instagram. It's, you are talking about people's lives, livelihoods. Yeah.
When you fail, you're hurting people's lives.
Exactly.
That sucks.
Dude.
And that's why it becomes really hard for leaders too, though, to make the appropriate actions that need to be done, including me, because you truly understand the repercussions of your decisions. Mm. And that weighs so heavy on you that you're like, okay, I need to do what's best for the group, the business, everything else. But at the same time, I know that any action against an individual affects not just them, their family, their future, their kids. And it's important to say it's not the person, it's the role. But it's really hard to take the person out because the outcome is the person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's imperative that, first of all, you do that. It's the role. You need to delineate. But the person comes into effect with how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the important piece, that all measuring, judgment, all anything like that, performance, that is the role. You hire for the role. The person comes in, they need to perform in that role. They need to do this. You need to work on you. You got to work together as a team. The team has a role. They need to work together. Why isn't it working, right? But when it comes to actually working, and whether that's termination, whether that's corrective action, whether that is, it is predicated on the role, but you are dealing with the person.
Mm-hmm.
And this can be a really hard thing because they're two almost opposites. One, you're saying, no, this is very clear, you do it, which you have to do. This is why we're doing it. You know, we need you to do this. And then the other side that lots of leaders you have to face, then it is, okay, if you do roll into a termination, now you are being very clear and simple.
Mm-hmm.
This is why it happened. This is what it is and everything else. But you do need to realize that's a person.
Yeah.
Well, and you need to take care of the people. I think that's important.
It really is.
And they need to know that you see them as people and that you take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so this dynamic that we're talking about goes back to exactly how we started the conversation. You're asked to do two things that are totally opposite.
Yeah.
To be a good leader, you need to work with the people. You need to make the people better. You need them to believe, and you need to hit on real things that are real people things.
Mm-hmm.
But then to judge, qualify, to get the machine to work.
But the business comes first.
The business comes first, and it's the role. It's the performance within the role. And how I look at it is it's about a fit. So if you don't fit here, it's not good for you. So we need to help you get somewhere where you can be better.
Mm-hmm.
And that is better for the person. The role you're failing at, the person, you're not being fulfilled in it. You don't feel good about it. So then the person is also hurting. So if they're not succeeding in the role, the person needs to go somewhere else where they can succeed for their talents, everything else like that.
Mm-hmm.
You need to help the person, right?
Exactly.
And you need to help them move on and be supportive of that and done in a way, though, too, where they're clear. And all this stuff you guys were talking about, I'm talking from experience and how I felt and where I've screwed up and where I think, and if there's anything that weighs heavy on me, it's those instances where I, as a person, failed during those times for that other person, which you will as a leader. It's just how it works, because you're a person too, right? But there is this strange balancing act that you have to play as a leader. To once again, I'm not even talking that you have employees. How are you judging your contractors? How are you working? Like, what are you doing? Here's the role. You have to follow the role. Why? Because you affect everything else in the project. How are you dealing with investors, right? Hey, you have a role too. So how do all these things work together and how are you handling them? I think it weighs heavily on people to a point where they actually go, I can't do this. And I don't like that, because I think it's because not only were we trained wrong, but people just don't maybe know how to handle it. But if they knew better and they worked better and actually could use those things in power to empower the people, empower that, then all of a sudden they look at something they didn't like as a true strength. Exactly. And it's something that they're helping other people, that they're like, I never wanted to take investors. And one of the main reasons I didn't want to take investors, because I'm like, what if I fail? And I was like, I could lose their money. I would hurt the person. And somebody said, AJ, what you're doing is you're putting your own personal feelings ahead of someone else's opportunity. So you think that you're doing a good thing because you're protecting them in case you may fail. And they go, have you ever lost a project? I'm like, no, never. And they go, what you're doing now is not allowing them to have opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I think of that as employees.
Flip the script.
You're allowing opportunity. We're giving you a chance to grow. We're allowing this stuff, and you provide opportunities to people. It doesn't mean that we won't fail, and it doesn't mean that it's going to be handled wrong, anything else like that. But that is better, to give opportunity and to give those individuals abilities and things like that, even if they fail, even if it doesn't work out. It was still better to have done it and been a leader and tried and all that things than it would be to avoid it and not work hard and not provide opportunities for others and not work on bringing the team, not having the hard conversations, right? All of those things are actually the good things. That's actually produces opportunity, results, everything else. The other stuff is I'm trying to protect me, my inside feelings, because it hurts when I get it wrong or I'm worried, things like that. Which when I look at it like that, I'm like, oh, that's just selfish.
Mm-hmm. No, I couldn't have said it better myself, man. You're hitting the nail on the head for sure, in every way, shape, and form. Leadership is not a super easy thing. Building companies is not a super easy thing. Something you can do to make things a lot easier, just be super clear on your expectations, because it's so much easier to have those conversations to say, look, yeah, like these were the expectations. They weren't met. Yep. It is what it is. They obviously, and a lot of times, already know. They know they're not meeting those expectations, because you are being clear. You are being very transparent on what you expect and what the outcomes are supposed to be. And they know if they're meeting them or not, you know? So,
and have conversations.
Be very clear.
It's one of my biggest things. It's like, no, they're going to get it. They're going to try. It's okay. They'll do it another round. I believe so much of the people. And it's like, I should have given feedback, sir.
Yep.
I should have been on top of it. I should have said it.
In hindsight,
I should have gone it.
Yes.
Right.
That's been one of my biggest things too, is like, especially over the past several months for us and our company, I'm like, man, had I just done these certain activities way back when, I just done this and this at that point in time. Like so many times I've had that.
Yep. So just be on top of it quicker. Don't avoid it. And it will help them. It'll help other people. Once again, it's counterintuitive.
Yep.
Something that you think is scary or that may hurt you or may hurt them is actually not. It may be uncomfortable, but it helps them.
Yes.
And that's how you got to think about it being a leader. You're not supposed to make people comfortable. You're supposed to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean any of you are going to like the outcome, but that's what it takes. And I think too often we think that helping people means that we're comfortable, that they're not, you're not having hard discussions, that you're not getting penalties. And it's, that's not true at all.
Right.
As the entrepreneur, you get massively penalized by the market when you mess up. I mean, you're risking everything.
Mm-hmm.
You'll lose your home. You'll lose, right? I mean, it's the consequences are severe. So to think employees shouldn't have consequences, right? But yet you do that to yourself because the upside, and it's part of the growth, it doesn't make sense. But it's so that true. Emotional part that kicks in. And it's not that emotion is bad. It's okay to have that emotion because that creates understanding. But the idea is you're just confusing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's better to have tough, hard conversations and do hard things for you and them.
It really is. Really is.
Awesome. Well, everybody, this is going to be an ongoing discussion. I hope you guys pulled something from our thoughts, our experiences in it. Once again, you're a leader, whether you have employees or not.
Mm-hmm.
And what we need now is more leaders, communities, families.
Absolutely.
That's really what we need. And I think most people, especially today, have what being a leader is completely backwards.
Mm-hmm.
It's that they make everybody feel good, happy, that they do fun things and that people like them. And that's not part of life. Like that's not the expectation of life. And that's not how anyone grows. So we take short-term comfort over long-term growth, and that's hurting you and others, and that's not being a leader.
It is. So knock it off.
Knock it off. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you.